Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
Well, we've been talking about more than words, and we've been putting our focus on the significance of the scripture. And today, I want to continue with that. I'm going to bring this message to you, and then at the end of the worship experience, we're going to have a special opportunity for people to give toward our Heart for the House project. It's for, you know, Oasis family, the way that we've done that in the past. And then we prepared a very special musical presentation, so, you know, don't take off before, you know, you get a chance to see that. God, thank you for this moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us and do what you do best. Reveal Jesus to us in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we're here to celebrate the good things that God has done and to honor Jesus Christ for hope and for strength. But we're also gathered here to respond to the opportunity that we have to bring good news to the world, to our friends, to our family, to our city, to our state, to our nation, to our world. We need to hear good news. And we live in a world where there is a lot of hurt. There is a lot of heartbreak and disappointment and loss that people experience. Just this last week, we saw the Boston Marathon bombings that took place and the terrorism that's happening in our country. And many countries experience something like that on a regular basis. But the heartbreak that that brings to many innocent people. And the week before, Pastor Rick Warren lost his son, 27-year-old son. He lost the battle with mental illness and committed suicide. And what a heartbreaking situation to be close to people, to love people, to try your best and to see the difficulties that people face. And you know what the truth is, as we look around us, the human heart is not created to handle all of the problems and the hits, the difficulties that we face. And so it carries a mark, it carries a weight in our life. And often we find people putting a lot of energy into empty pursuits to compensate for the disillusionment and the struggles in our heart. And we know that we need to turn to God for that strength and for that hope. One of the disturbing things I heard this week was that the average age of homelessness in the United States is 9 years old. That struck me like it struck me when I heard that there was almost 1 billion people that didn't have clean drinking water several years back. You know, now the number is decreasing and a lot of people are trying to bring help to it. But it just reminds me of the desperation that people experience every day in our world. And in the midst of that darkness and in the midst of that pain, there is a light. And that light is Jesus Christ. That hope is in Him. There is strength in the midst of confusion. Go ahead and give some praise to God for the strength that we can find in Him. The touch of Jesus brings healing to a discouraged soul and brings healing to our life and to our relationships. And when there is so much hatred. You know, I read this week too, separately from this, but about a girl 22 years old on her birthday in February this year jumped off the George Washington Bridge to her death because of the pressure from bullying. And I thought just the number of people in that circumstance that this was impacting, and what does it mean about our heart and our life? You know, and I'm reminded of the verse in Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 20, where it says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what that means to me is that while sin has produced so much heartbreak and so much desperation and frustration and pain and loss, and it seems so overwhelming, that there's something greater. The grace of God is greater still. So you think of the number of people struggling. Greater still is the grace of God. You think of the number of people bound by darkness. Greater still is the light of the world, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Are you with me today? Are you excited about that? 29 years ago when we started Oasis, I had this picture in my mind of an oasis, a place in a desert with tents and trees and water, and all around it, heat. People struggling, the weary who are dying of thirst, dying of hunger. They're lost. They lost their way. They come to this place in the desert, an oasis, and they find hope. They find healing. They find direction. They get direction in their life. And I thought, this is what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be in our city. I think of Los Angeles in many ways as a spiritual desert where many people find themselves here and needing help, needing grace, needing direction and life and healing in their life. And so I think of this verse in Isaiah 43, verse 18. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert, that oasis of life. Do you want to be that kind of church? I want to be that kind of church. You want to join me in being that kind of church to our city and to our world? Is that where we're dedicated to go? I hope that you are. But you see, we can't stay the way we are. We can't stay where we are in order to do what we need to do for Jesus Christ, for our city, and for our world. We need to continue to be available, to grow, to trust God for more, for greater miracles, for greater light. And he's looking for people whose hearts are open and available, willing to believe. I often ask people, I challenge people, will you give the Oasis 1 year of your life? Yeah, whenever we're starting, April, would you give 1 year? Just commit yourself to the Oasis and see if your involvement here doesn't bring healing and strength, that you're more aware of his word, that you have a greater faith in your life, that you experience the presence of God, you are clearer on your purpose. I say, come be with us for a year. And then I always say, if you don't have that result, you should find another place, because that's a long time to be committed somewhere. That's what I would do. But you know what? Now I'm looking for people who would want to be at this oasis and be leaders. Be not just there to heal for a year, but realize, hey, part of my healing is to give back. I'm going to be here 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to heal. I'm going to be part of the answer to others that are needing this breakthrough in their life. So the new church building that we are buying and that we're preparing to get into, and it's a great, an amazing opportunity. It doubles our seating capacity. It doubles our rooms, our classrooms. It triples or more our parking. And it just puts us in a position to be a greater light in this world. And so I'm just grateful and honored that God has entrusted us with this opportunity. And so when I look around and I see the hurting people and I hear the problems, I see the darkness, I'm not discouraged. I'm not going, oh man, look at all this. I see it as an opportunity to reach people with a message of hope and with a message of life. And how this is going to happen is through a devotion between you and I to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit. recognizing that the Word of God brings life, the Word of God brings faith, that we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, and that we would be filled with faith, and that we would see people like Jesus saw people, like he seed people. Because when you have heaven's connections, it lifts limitations in our life. I love this scripture in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 in verse 35, it says, Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. He proclaimed good news to people. He brought healing of every disease and every sickness, every emotional disease, every physical sickness, every mental problem, emotional problem, spiritual problem. And it says, because when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's our Jesus. That's the Jesus we serve. Are you there? He says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He said, look, there's need all around us. Look, there's desperation. Look, there are people who are coming to an end of their own. Even the people with a lot of resources find out, I have all this wealth, I have all this opportunity, but it's not meeting the need of my soul. Because all the harvest is plentiful. Will you be a worker? Will you be somebody who will have the heart of Jesus? You know, a lot of people think Christians are mean. They think God's angry. I don't want to be part of those people who love Jesus because they just get angry because of the problems that people have. Like, that's not people who are followers of Jesus. Our Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. He said, oh, I love those people. I want to help. I want to heal. I want to bring good news. That's what we're called to do. You know, we live in a world that instead of compassion, people often respond with criticism and anger. And I think about what I said about Rick Warren. And at a time of grief, many people who are religious take that opportunity to criticize. You know, it's easy to criticize. We live in a world of cynics, so people like to criticize Rick Warren or Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or whoever is well known. Don't let those people, don't listen to all that stuff. That's crazy talk. These are great people of God who love people. You know, one of the things that's most compelling about Joel Osteen that so many people don't understand is that when he communicates, he doesn't communicate rejection to anybody. He communicates compassion and hope, and people respond to it. Just a few months ago, we were at the Staples Center, and it's packed with people, and I'm sitting there, we're praying, and he's going, anybody who wants Jesus to be your Savior, stand to your feet. And usually in that arena, there's lots of noise with celebrations and fans. But in that moment, there's just music. And I started to hear seats springing open as people stood. This seat, this seat, this seat. And I could hear it all over the auditorium. What an amazing sound. I may never get it out of my mind. All these seats springing open. Somebody, I need hope. I need Jesus. I want this compassion. Oh, man, that's who we represent. So don't be among those who are blinded by the hurts in this world, but be excited about the passion of Jesus, because Jesus was and is a healer. He heals our soul. He heals our mind, our spirit, our life. He heals our body. And I want to take you on a little journey of some scripture today. And so I want you to stick with me for a minute and look at what these scriptures have to say, because it's going to build faith in you. It's going to build expectation, and it's going to be important because we're going to come to a moment that you want to be able to respond. And so in Matthew chapter 8, we see another scenario where Jesus is out ministering to the people. And it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. So I guess he preached all day and loved all day. And people coming at night just go, I still need help. And so he loved each one. He healed each one. And verse 17, it says, he did this to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Isaiah in Isaiah 53 talks about how the Lamb of God would give his life for the salvation of our life and the healing of our body and soul. The same act of Jesus brings salvation that brings healing to our body and to our soul. And then I look at Psalm 103 verse 1 and it says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. I get the feeling David was talking to himself. That gives me hope. Because every once in a while I have to talk to myself. Pay attention, Philip. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me, all my emotions, all my fears, all my ambitions, all my attitudes. Turn your heart to God. And he said, praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. This is the love of God. This is the grace of our Father in heaven. A lot of times people think, yeah, go ahead. I don't want to stop you from doing that. A lot of people think that God of the Old Testament is mean and the God of the New Testament is happy. But that's because we don't understand all of this. Isaiah 53, Psalm 103, Exodus 15, 26. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. He has compassion on us. And it brings us to this story I want to tell you about. And this story is important because Jesus came to present God the Father in human form so we could understand that compassion and that love. And Jesus didn't come to bring a new side of God. He came to reveal the true heart of God. And so we're going to read this story in Luke chapter 8. I want you to follow along with me. It's a beautiful story of healing in the Gospels. And it says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. That's important. She touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. First they denied it, then he blamed everybody. No one, everyone. Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me. You see, everybody needs God. It's the people who want God that draws the power from him. And he said, then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she said, oops, busted. Came trembling and fell at his feet. I wonder why she couldn't go unnoticed. You ever think about that? Maybe she realized after 12 years that she's healed. Maybe she just started shouting and yelling or crying or worshiping. And everybody, who touched me? And it's like, oh, look at this one. And so then she goes. And it says, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. It's because you pushed in. It's because you pushed in toward Jesus, not because you were on the outside. You know, we gather around in church every Sunday, but there's a chance that you would recognize that Jesus is here, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that maybe if you pushed in, you could get a hold of the edge of his cloak. Yes. And that you would touch him and find healing for your soul, for your marriage, for your future, for your faith. For your body. You know, most of the time, you know, a lot of times people press in to church. I love it that we're crowded. We have overflow, you know, and a lot of people, that's inconvenient. But I just think it's a good sign people are pushing into Jesus. Some people, the only pushing they do is to get to the parking lot first. That's the opposite direction of where we need to go for healing. Am I preaching now? Okay. And so, but she heard that Jesus healed, that he was full of compassion, and that everywhere he went, He loved people and he gave them good news and he brought healing. And she thought, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. I'm going to turn to him. And she had the kind of faith that she pressed in and got the edge of his cloak. Now, that's important. It's significant. And I want to show you something. Take a minute and show you a scripture that's so powerful. You're going to love this. So this is in Numbers. Numbers chapter 15. And this is God giving instruction to the people of Israel, God's people, with something very important. And so he says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, so you'll remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. So, now this is going to come together here in just a minute, but rabbis would wear a prayer shawl. And I have this a prayer shawl to show you here. And it's significant what he's saying, because he says they would wear this prayer shawl and you could identify rabbis. And he talks about what you need to have is the tassels here. And the tassels, it said, would remind you of the word of God, the commands of God. And so on this tassel, there are five knots. And each knot represents one of the first five books of the Bible, the book of the law. And it has the promises of God. And it reveals who he is and instruction. And so they would wrap this in their hand as they're praying. And it said, it would remind you of the commands of God. It's the promises of God as you pray. And so it had significance to them. And it also said it would warn you so you didn't prostitute yourself. And you know what that means? Is that God is a jealous God. And he wants us to turn to him. And so often in the midst of darkness, we're tempted to look outside of God for help. We look for someone else to meet our need sexually. We look for somewhere outside the command of God to how to treat people. And this reminds you, as you're praying, you don't just pray with vengeance, pray with compassion. Pray with love. Let it guide you. And so these tassels, tzitzit, in the Hebrew, would be on this garment. And right here on the corners, this is important, these corners that it would hang on. The corners are called kanat. And so when you find that they're praying, they're going, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? They're reminded, what does your word tell me to do? What are your commands tell me to do? And so the Hebrew word for corner, kanaf, is also interpreted as wings. And so I'm going to show you what that means in a minute. But I was doing some research and they said specifically that there should be blue in the tassels. It doesn't say in the scripture what that means. But some scholars believe the blue represented the word of God. And some believed it represented the Holy Spirit. I'm good with both. And but the four spaces between the five knots represents the name of God, Yahweh, YHWH. And so they would have this as they prayed. This morning, I thought I'd practice. So when I was praying in my bedroom, I started praying. I put the shawl on and I was walking. It was cool, too. I was praying and I was praying for you. And then my dog was looking at me funny, but I think it was the anointing. That's what I'm believing. And another thing about this is that they have it has 613 knotted strings, and that represents the laws of the Torah. See, I'll show you. One, two. Wait, you just trust me on that one. I read this one writer. I'd never read this before, so I thought it was interesting. But he said that when they go into the temple to pray, so that they wouldn't get distracted, they would take this prayer shawl and they would do this, and they called that their prayer closet. Isn't that interesting? That they would close it, so then they would pray to God and not be doing it as a performance, but doing it to talk to God through his word. And so what makes this important is that in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. In Malachi chapter 4, I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come on up and get ready for this next moment here in the service. But in Malachi chapter 4, it says, "But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." That word translated wings is kana. It's translated the corner, and it's translated wings. And so when this woman heard the stories of Jesus and heard about the healing and heard his message, and she realizes this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. And she remembered the word, said that he will rise with healing in his wings. So she thought, oh, if I could just touch the kana. There's healing in the corners. There's healing in the prayer, the presence of Jesus. And so she pushed through the crowd. And what I want you to get today is that Jesus is in this place. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you could reach out and touch the corner of his garment. You could touch his word, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that he could bring healing to your soul, healing to your body. What is it that you need? What is it in this world that has brought darkness to you? Are you struggling financially? Have you lost a tremendous amount? Has your dream collapsed? Maybe you're like the woman who had an issue with blood. Maybe you have a disease. Maybe you have HIV. You know, in that day, what she dealt with was made her unclean. It was a risk to even reach out and touch a man. But she touched him in faith. She responded that compassion. I wonder if God would do the unimaginable in you, if you would do the unimaginable by reaching out to him and saying, I'm not going to be left here in the crowd. I'm not going to be one of the faces of hundreds. I'm going to be the person that reaches out and grabs a hold of the edge of his cloak and have healing in my life. I want to pray for you right now, and I want to ask you to trust him. Look at this verse. Look at this verse in Matthew 14. This is the last one. Matthew 14, 35. It says, when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent the word to all the surrounding country, and people brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. You might say, well, I need what Jesus has. I need hope. I need faith in my life. But you know what, Philip? I'm not sure I know how to do that. Well, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to pray with you, and I want you to be like that woman. Let your faith move you. Let your faith reach out to him. God in heaven, I pray for every person here in this room. I pray for everybody watching at church online. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to move in this place. I pray that you would draw people's hearts to you, that there would be expectation, there would be anticipation, there'd be a willingness to be bold, to be honest, to turn to you. We say, oh, I need Jesus. He's the Messiah, Yeshua. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the great healer. I need him in my life. I've tried everything else. But today, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to touch the edge of his cloak, the Word of God. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit touch my life. And so I pray for the broken, that you would heal them right now. I pray for those where there is despair, depression, weariness on your soul. And I pray that it would lift, that Jesus would heal you and replace that with the peace that passes all understanding, to give you a peace that the world couldn't give. I pray for those that have been through heartbreaking relationships. I pray that the Holy Spirit would comfort your soul, You may always remember the event, but you don't have to carry pain. Jesus can wash away the pain. Go ahead and hand it to him. Just give it over to him and touch the hem, the edge of his cloak. I pray for those who need healing in your body, disease, pain, injury, sickness. I believe Jesus is alive. I believe Jesus is in this place. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? Will you reach out? I want you to just reach out by faith and say, Jesus, would you heal me?
Thanks for listening. We invite you to visit oasisla.org to find more resources, teaching, and learn how you can partner with us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Make it a great day.